young men and women as you're now entering to the world of the courtship. You gotta watch out. Especially you in the universities, in the schools, and in the workplace. There are wolves all over. They know what you want. That's what they're going to dress up like if they're really not who they say they are. You say, well, how will I know? Well, here's two things. Do they love the Lord Jesus Christ, and can you see an effort to do that in their lives? And how is being with them going to make you a better Christian? That's the question you've got to answer.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, let's join Pastor Rick as he continues through the book of Ephesians chapter 4 with today's edition of Cross Reference Radio.
There's a difference between talents and gifts. This talents is God-given, but it's a gift when you recognize it. It's like, wow, this comes from God. It's all the difference between arrogance and meekness. And we'll talk about that, hopefully. So in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, walk worthy of the calling which you were called. And so here's Paul again. He's made this reference to him being a prisoner in verse 1 of chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, not the prisoner of Rome. See, again, it goes back to the humanistic view versus the heavenly view. God looks at it and he says, you're not Rome's prisoner. You belong to me. You're shackled to me by choice, by love. Is not love a bond? Is not the wedding band when we give the vows? We say the ring, a geometric figure that symbolizes the bond of marriage, as it does the bond between Christ and his church. You Christians, that wedding ring you have is not all about you and your spouse. It's you and your Lord first, and you and your spouse second. Which is more important on a normal day? Food or oxygen? Well, oxygen. I mean, you can't eat food if you don't have oxygen. And in that sense, Christ is most important for us, for everything. Our family is not first. Christ is first. Now, that does not mean that we shuffle the family and, you know, we don't need them. We're serving Christ. Too bad you didn't eat today because I've been busy out serving the Lord. That is not Christianity. But it does highlight for us this understanding that we stand or fall before Christ on more things than just my marriage, my family, my job. We stand before him for everything. And so he says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. And then he says, I'm asking you this. Now, he knew this church was a solid church at this time. In our introduction to the Ephesian church, we know that by the time Jesus writes to the church, 30, 40 years later, they've lost their ability to love Christ. They're still doing things for people. They're doing people things. They've been humanized. Now, the Christian is supposed to do both. The humanist does one. They only, they say, care about human beings. Whereas the Christian is supposed to say, well, we care about God, but that also means we care for human beings too. And if you want us to build you a hospital or a school or an orphanage, you're going to get the gospel or we're out of here. Because we have nothing else to give you. Any builder can put up a building for you, but only the believers of Jesus Christ can bring the truth so that when you do drop dead, you won't be dead if you choose the Lord. Missions have gotten so confused over this. But I think what happens is we lose sight of who we are, our identity. We have an identity crisis. We look at someone that's suffering before us and we start responding to the symptom. And we never consider eternity. The true symptom is sin. We don't go at that. There are many who claim to be Christ. They don't understand this. And so they go into places and they just throw money at things and they brag about all the orphanages and the hospitals and the schools they built. And you say, well, who's gotten saved here? Well, doesn't the Lord say, what does it profit a man if he gains the world and goes to hell in the end? I would not want to be the pastor standing before Christ. And he says, now tell me again, how many times did you preach the gospel? And have no answer. And so he says, walk worthy. And that's what we're talking about. Now, none of us are worthy. He makes us worthy. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. It causes us to get back in the game. You get knocked off the horse, you get back on the horse because Jesus says so, not because I'm that skilled. And the calling he is referring to is that of salvation. Christ calls. The Holy Spirit comes beside. Before we are believers, and he woos us. He starts charming us. It's not, but it's genuine. It's not, you know, mindless flattery. He's saying, listen, I care. I love you. I died for you. You know the world is not right. You know the world's religions are not right because you've identified what's wrong with them. That's why you don't belong to them. And if you do, you wish there was something better. When the Christian message comes along, you begin, after you hear it, you understand there is nothing better than this. I get saved because of what someone else has done. I get sick because I'm human in a sinful world. But this is not the whole story. And I cannot refute the scriptural record. And so he says, walk worthy of the calling, which you were called. Now, Paul, where did you draw strength from while you were in prison? Well, I think he drew it from the scriptures. We'll just take some of the Old Testament scriptures that may have assisted him. And these are not scriptures that are, you could pick these powerful ones, but let's just pick some of the ones we might not pick. He says, why do you stand far off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? This is Psalm 10, verse 1. This is people of God praying to God, not getting their prayers answered the way they had petitioned the Lord to help them. And they're saying, why are you so far away? Why don't you do something for me? The saint gets up off of their knees after that and says, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. What do you want me to do? I don't need you to answer my prayers for you to be my God. You are God by reason of truth. That's who you are. There's nothing I could do with that. But you love me and are kind to me, and I know that by reason of revelation. In verse 17, he says, Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. That's faith. That's hope. In verse 1 of Psalm 11, he says, in Yahweh, I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? That was Nehemiah's response. Shall a man such as I flee? Shall a man like me who claims to believe in God, should I run when a little pressure on my life comes? That's why Paul says, yeah, I'm under a little pressure. But the pressure to keep the church sharp, that's the pressure I'm under, not Caesar. Caesar's come and go. Who cares about that? The pressure I have is to serve my master so that when I stand before him, he says to me, yes, that's what I'm talking about. Now, he won't say it like that, but well done, good. The urban translation, well done, good and faithful servant is, yeah, baby, that's what it is. And there's no like, that's sacrilege. No, it's not. It's a moment of exhilaration, confirmation. What are you talking about, Lord Jesus? Serving you through thick and thin. Now, me, personally, I've never had any problems in life. I just come up here out of the closet, and I just pastor, and I tell you all of these beautiful things about the scripture. But I've never had any problems. I've never doubted anything. Satan's never come after me. It takes one to know one. You can't appreciate the verses such as, what are we going to do, Lord, if you don't answer, unless you've been in that spot more than once? And so, verse 2, he says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Oh, man, I don't want to bear with one another. Lowliness, the Greek word there, translated lowliness, is actually should have been translated meekness, because that's how it's translated elsewhere. That's what it means. Meekness. Now, meekness is not admired by the world because they mistake meekness for weakness. But actually, the opposite is true of meekness. You cannot be meek unless you are strong. Meekness is strength held back. Like, I could pop you, but I'm not, because I'm a Christian. Lucky you didn't catch me on a carnal day. I'd be seeking mercy, and you'd be seeking an ice pack. But meekness, that's when the Lord says, now, he doesn't do it this way, but this is in it. And he goes, I could call 12 legions of angels, and that'd be the end of everybody. See, that's strength held back. Meekness is strength held in reserve. Not walking around defeated and sheepish. Please, please don't criticize me for being a Christian. Please don't persecute me. Please don't mock and laugh at me. Laugh at me what you want, all you want to. I'm not asking the unbeliever permission to believe what I know to be true. I'm not asking him to like it. I'm offering it to him. You take it or you leave it. And if you don't take it, someone else will. So long as the church is here, someone else will get saved. I want to be part of that process. Not notches on a pistol handle, but it's a desire to rescue the lost. The same sentiment, the same feeling we have when we see the poor child on the African plains with the flies all over their face and they're, you know, sick and how that hurts us. Causes us, well, what can I do? Well, really, not a lot. The corruption is so deep. The problem is so severe. You need God to tell you how to handle these things. Well, that same feeling is the feeling I'm supposed to have when I'm in one of the supermarkets, stores, or online somewhere, or in the workplace, and someone I really don't like. You ever have someone who just bugs you? Well, I've had thousands. And if you say, well, I can't identify with that, you need to live in New York for a while. Well, I came here, I only disliked two people. Now, I only like two people. But my point is the severity of the lost state of a soul and our response to this. We're not supposed to be sheepish in the sense of, you know, that's not the right word even. We're not supposed to be, you know, fainting goats, which is to me one of the most ridiculous elements of creation. It's a mockery of evolution. Scott says, yeah, well, check this out. The goats faint. I mean, it's just stupid. It's like, who thought of that?
I did.
But anyway, we're not supposed to be that. And where would preaching be without illustrations such as fainting goats? I mean, it's just like, you can't ask for more. But yes, you can. With meekness and gentleness. Gentleness is the outcome of meekness. To be gentle, now I'm not talking about that gentle, like I'm going to be gentle with you because I really want something from you. You young men and women, as you're now entering to the world of the courtship, you got to watch out, especially you in the universities, in the schools, and in the workplace. There are wolves all over. They know what you want. That's what they're going to dress up like if they're really not who they say they are. You say, well, how will I know? Well, here's two things. Do they love the Lord Jesus Christ? And can you see an effort to do that in their lives? And how is being with them going to make you a better Christian? That's the question you've got to answer. Because if the answer is, well, not at all, then find somebody else. But I love her. You say that now. You wait till she separates you from your Lord and see if you'd be chanting that in hell. So again, if you marry somebody who has Satan as their father, then you will end up with Satan as a father-in-law. And you can have at it. This is serious stuff. Put the wall up. That's the story again of Nehemiah. What did he do? He built and he battled at the same time. What is the lesson in that? While I fight my personal sin, I still build my relationship with Christ at the same time. I don't go, oh, let me put the sword down so I can build something. And I don't go, oh, let me just fight. I'm not going to build anything. That's the critic. The confrontational soul does that. We have to do them both at the same time in the presence of the Lord. And we do this with meekness and gentleness. And I got to tell you, I have struggled with meekness very much. And you've made it easy to struggle. No, tell that to somebody. I'm only struggling with loving you because you're making it easy for me to struggle. But anyway, that's not how we don't want to be that way to anyone. We want to be meek. And it's the flesh does not cooperate here. But when you begin to see the value of being meek and gentle. Then everything changes. And I can tell you, I have not struggled with this. God has blessed me with this, to care, to be gentle. Listen to what Peter says. You know, Peter, here he is, that great apostle, and he writes to the churches in 1 Peter as though he's not Peter the apostle, as he's just a regular guy who loves the Lord. But he's cognizant, he's mindful of his calling. He says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. And these are the pastors. He says, I'm telling you, pastors, I am a fellow pastor, elder, he uses the word, and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Then he says this, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, that's the Lord, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And so he's writing, and in the midst of his writing, he's encouraging this church to withstand persecution, and then he shows this care for the flock, because he's got the heart of Christ in him now. That's what Paul is doing. He's caring for them, and he wants them to care for each other. You say, well, we Christians do that. Well, not so fast. He says, with meekness and gentleness, with long-suffering. Long-suffering. 1 Corinthians 13 gives us the answer to this, verse 4. And there he says, love suffers long and is kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up. You want to know what love is? You want to understand where we need to be? Read the 13th chapter of the Corinthians. Long-suffering is the outcome of love. Meekness is the outcome of a relationship with Christ, of having seen Jesus. The outcome of that is gentleness. That means care. You show care to others, especially those who need it when you can. Sometimes you're not able to. Sometimes it's just not in your strength to do it. It would be a mistake to try. I'm not saying that that's an excuse to be harsh. With long-suffering, bearing with one another. Now, if I said, who wants to be a billionaire? I'll take it. I'll just take half. But then who wants to care for one another in love? Well, as long as you behave, I don't mind doing it. Well, but that's the thing. This is under the pressure of the other person not being so lovable. Who can do this? And you say, well, I've got this under control. Well, listen to the story in Philippians chapter 2. Now, this imagine how this happened. Here you are. You attend a church in Philippi. It's the next letter we'll come to. Paul wrote also while prisoner in Rome, or under Rome. And Paul writes this letter, and he's going over these wonderful things in the church. He's talking to them about the furtherance of the gospel in chapter 1, and which we're all endeavoring to do. And then, remember, the letter would show up at the church. The pastor would read the letter, and then he would share it with the flock. I mean, he wouldn't read it in front of them and then share it. He'd read it, and then he'd announce that, hey, when we assemble, we're going to read this letter from Paul we got. And so he's going through this, and he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for example. And remember, there were no verse distinctions. He's just reading right through it. No chapters. It's just a letter. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we so eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the congregation is listening to this as you're listening right now. And they're saying, yes, yes. And then he says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy, my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. What? You're sitting in the congregation. He's reading all of these superlative things about the faith. Then he names you and the person you don't like, who also doesn't like you back, in front of everybody. Today you would have a lawsuit. But this is what he was saying. Walk worthy of your calling, with strength held back. Care towards one another. And so he calls these two women out, because he knows that the husbands are brought into the battle. People in the congregation are forced to take sides. And the next thing you know, you've got a demonic free-for-all, chaos in the house of God, in Jesus' name. Under something so petty and insignificant, no question about it. The pastors weren't upset about whatever it was, so it was not a doctrinal thing severe enough. It's something stupid. And when he's in Philippi in jail, and he's told about the church in Philippi, he's writing the letter, he gets to this point where the Spirit of the Lord says, don't step past this. Get it out in the open. And he gets it out in the open. I bet you those two people got together after that. Look, we don't have to agree. Forgive me. No, forgive you. You know, sort of Chip and Dale. Kind of, no, please, after you. No, after. And that's what it's supposed, that's what he's talking about here in the Ephesian letter. Long-suffering, bearing with one another. In the Galatian letter, we read him say, my little children. Now remember, the Galatians were really giving him a hard time because they were siding with people who were trying to kill him and destroy his ministry. And he says, my little children. See, that's care. That's meekness. He's holding back strength. He could say, you little children of confusion or something like that. He says, for whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you. That's the goal. Christ formed in you. I don't care what career you have. I don't care what you're doing. If that career or whatever it is you're doing is interfering with Christ being formed in you, you need to reevaluate everything. You need to stop and think about who you are. You need an identity check. If you go to a university for a degree, you better understand if you are a born-again Christian, you're going to get that degree for Jesus Christ, not for you. Or it's a talent. It's something given to you, but you've not really gotten hold of the fact that it's a gift from God. And so it just remains a talent. But if it's a gift from God, then you have no ownership. It's not yours. It's not some creative power you have. The arrogance is it cannot find a place to take root in your heart. How many of you like arrogant people? Well, if you celebrate the obnoxious, if you celebrate human beings, you think arrogance is a virtue. You think it comes with the accomplishments. You get people who introduce themselves. I am the right reverend, the honorable, the most noble. We laugh at that stuff. There are other people that are very serious about it. And so do you pray for people you don't like? They're your sheep. They're your people whom you've allowed me to under shepherd. And we're going to get that as we move through. He himself has given some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers. Who's he given those? The dopey ones. That's who the pastors are. We don't appreciate following a dopey one, so could you please restate your position? Anyway, look, probably if I was a lot better at something else, I'd be out doing it. Pastors become pastors because God calls them. He says, hey, you, I need you to go do this. And they say, okay. And that's it simplified. And so where Paul says, bearing with one another in love, if you don't have this agape, you cannot have Christ formed in you. You cannot do this. The conduct of Christ is the outflow of the character of Christ being formed in us by the Holy Spirit because his Father is our Father. I don't know if we'll get to it in verse 6. We'll have a lengthy discussion on the fatherhood of God, how critical it was to Jesus to emphasize this relationship, more than any other relationship. The first time the word love shows up in the scripture is in the context of the love of the Father. And that is not the mother, it's not brothers, it's not comrades in arms, it's the Father's love. And when Jesus rose from the dead and Mary, you know, hugged on to him, he says, I've not departed to my Father and your Father. And three times in that one verse, he emphasizes the Father of God. On the cross, at his death, it is him, Father, I commend my spirit into your hands. The prodigal son, 12 times the word Father shows up in the context of that story. This prodigal, this wasteful son, that's what the word prodigal means. And then the other son, the one who missed out, who was bitter and angry. You know, Cain and Abel, the spirit is still there. How many of you have siblings that, your kid got A's this year? My kid got D's, but I'm going to lie. Well, my kid got A+ because you got this rivalry. Cut that stuff out. Just if you can't be nice, just shut up.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio today. Cross Reference is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like more information about this ministry or want to listen to additional teachings from Pastor Rick, please visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never have to miss a program. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. We hope you'll tune in again next time to join us as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians with Pastor Rick. That's right here on Cross Reference Radio.